Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
In the secret, in the quiet, Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of a mighty salvation, the only one true God. Praise you. Thank you that we can come to you as we are and that you accept us. And ask that you would just bless this service tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praying tonight for the Lord to give me what to say, because it's been a while since I've been here and I heard you guys, and I know I've been going a lot of times, been going back and forth to Indiana to help my parents, and they've been running through a lot of illnesses and afflictions, and I know that without the Lord we have no hope. And though my father, I believe he believes, my mom doesn't have. She says she believes, but I don't think she has that understanding. Just the witness that I saw there was one of pride and it just rebellion. And I know that you wonder sometimes why God puts up with us. He gives us free will. And the song that she just sung, Change My Heart, Oh God. And that has to be our ultimate wish, because he gives us that free will. But he cannot tolerate sin. He cannot tolerate unbelief. And the only way we're going to make it to heaven and to stay there is if we fully believe who God is and we truly have that fear of him and him alone. If you put your faith and your trust in him and fear him, you truly, truly fear him, you're going to want to seek his will. You're going to want to know what he wants you to do. You're going to want to know, okay, who is this God? How can I get to know him? You're going to aggressively seek it. And if you don't aggressively seek it, you have no hope of being in heaven with him and then spending eternity there. But without, you know, because it says, God's word says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And that faith is faith in him, and knowing that, number one, he is God. He is the creator of the heavens and the universe. And without that, I mean, any time that you disobey and prideful, and I know I'm not perfect, far from it, but just things that have went on this week, it's really challenged me to overcome, because we all have those days where Satan gets the best of us, our own stubborn wills get the best of us, and what we have to do is say, I repent, Lord. I repent, and truly mean it from your heart, and get right. He's there with his hand out saying, I forgive you. All you have to do is ask. Say, Lord, I was wrong. It's my stubbornness, my flesh. That's why we have to seek to be like him. That's the only way we're going to make it. That's all I have.
Good evening, everyone. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How awesome is that, that we have a God that when he said it was finished, and the work was done. We sing a song that talks about, come, now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship, just as you are before your God. How awesome is that? That we can come as we are and be accepted. We bring nothing to the table. We have nothing worthy of saving. But he loved his creation enough to die for it, that we might have life and be accepted the way we are. We're messed up. I'm messed up. But he came and died for a wretch like me and a wretch like you. But I can get hung up on that I'm a wretch. He doesn't get hung up on it. He knows how I am and died for me that way. Because I needed it. Because he's love. Because he's good. What he did testifies nothing good in me. But it testifies only of his goodness, not my own. I'm going to go to Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the God of creation saying, come to me as you are. I accept you. This is an invitation to enter in to his righteousness, knowing that I have none of my own and will never have none of my own. And his hand is outstretched and he's saying, take my hand. I'm at hand. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The only true rest is in him. No, I can either choose to receive that and believe it, or I can smack his hand away and say, Lord, your provision wasn't sufficient for me. And judge him, which is basically what I'm doing. And every time I get hung up on how I am and how sorry I am and all of those things, or even how great I am, it's unbelief. But to know and truly know that he accepts us as we are. He is able to do a work in me. I'm not able to do anything. He is able. He was able yesterday. He's able today. And he will be able tomorrow to do a mighty work in me and in you. If you won't slap his hand away. Don't slap his hand away. He has an invitation that's outstretched to me. He's outstretched to every single one of us who will choose to take it and receive it and believe it. And stand in it and be not moved from it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what comes before you, even how ugly you see yourself as in your own sin. The situations that come before you, you hold on to that and you don't let it go. There is no hope outside of Christ. Who else has, where am I going to go? Who else has the words of eternal life? Him. You hold on to that and you don't let go, no matter what, because he loves you. He died for you. He accepts you as you are. Come to him as you are and worship him as the God of creation that he is and is worthy of all praise.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. in law school, there's all sorts of interesting folk that go to law school. But you see, you see lots of people that have that excellency of speech and those enticing words of man's wisdom and flowery language, and they draw you right in. And you're just sitting there, you're like, wow, they speak so fancy. And you know that they are just born to be trial attorneys. I was not that. I didn't have that. I just, short, sweet, simple, straight to the point, let's get to the facts of the matter and let's move on. And when you see that in action, there's two reasons for it. One is to impress those around you, to impress the judge and make the judge think that you know everything and with all your big words. And the other is to confound and confuse the jury so that they do not have any grasp of what the truth is in the situation at the end. They just go with whoever sounded the best and sounded the most intelligent. And there are people like that in the church. You always hear people out there, the glory, glory, hallelujah, and their big, enticing language and excellent speech, and they're out there trying to win people for Jesus, and they're not. They're turning them away. Because why in the world would you want to go and spend time with someone like that? Because you can't understand half what they say. All we need to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All we need to know and believe is that I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all sinners, we're all the same, no one is better than anyone else. And we are all saved by grace, which was given to us by Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Well, good evening, everybody. You know, I want to go back there. The good news of that gospel message has been entrusted to us to take to others. Is really, and it even when Jesus is saying this here in Matthew 11, I'm thinking, you know, this sounds like the instruction Paul gave to Philippians. You know, be of his mind. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, and Paul encouraged the Philippians to be like-minded, not be eaten up, consumed with pride and presumption. And you had Mel talking about the lawyers from law school, and I'm sitting here thinking about her. She's saying, because I watch, you know, these Perry Mason and what was the one Andy Griffith was in? Country Lawyer. And L.A. Law and Perry Mason and all the law shows. My experience in the courtroom is nobody, they phone it in, man. They're not interested in impressing anybody with their knowledge. They're interested in making sure that everybody knows each other. Hey, how you doing? The lawyers and the judge, and the lawyers and the clerk of court. But as far as presenting a case to deceive the jury, no case was ever presented. And the jury was deceived anyway. So it's like, I don't know. I wish there were some lawyers actually trying to earn their money, but that's not the case. But acting in that kind of presumption, and that something is owed to you, I suppose that's in all professions, in the medical profession and the legal profession. And I've put my work in, I deserve my thing right now. Well, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work that way. In the kingdom of God, when you put your work in, you get more work. And when the person that you're being charged to listen to and emulate presents himself as a servant, then you, who didn't try to shirk the duties and responsibilities that were given to him, he saw, you know, each person with their particular problem that approached him as a specific opportunity to show the goodness of the Father and the acceptance of the Father. When they humbled themselves and put off pretense and came as they are. That coming as you are is vitally important because it means you've been stripped of all that presumption and of owed anything, all that the pride has been absolutely crushed and eliminated, and you can receive in that position, in that condition. And, you know, when that's our job, then the more we get to do it, the better off we are. The more successful we are in communicating the goodness of the Lord and his gospel message, which enables you to strip yourself of pretense and condition and just come. What a great message. This is one of those messages that when it's been ministered and it's been received, the Lord could show up and meet it with his approval and his power. And we have those over us Well, listen, I'd much rather deal with their word than deal with their potential power. I could be crushed like a little bug on my countertop. I have nothing with which to resist. I have no inclination to resist. I've seen what happens in resistance. Resistance gets ugly. On the other hand, faithful service is rewarded. And I'd much rather be there. I'm always as reluctant as I am to receive the chastening and the correction. I'm much more unwilling to shirk it off. Because as long as I'm being corrected and chastened, I know that the Lord still cares and it matters to Him. And that's safety to me. It's not a good testimony to me, but it's safety to me. You know, and I trust not in my ways or the world's ways. I trust in the Lord's ways. He does this His way, and His way is by putting people over us who naturally are given to care for us and who love us enough to tell us the truth. Even when it's unpleasant, unsavory, unseemly, for our deliverance, for our prosperity, for our being set free from the bondage that is written into our DNA and that we have to struggle to unbind from. The struggle is against unbelief. The struggle is against the testimony of the natural in this world. This body of unbelief, this body of corruption. But the success is when we dwell in the truth of His word, the truth of His testimony, in the safety behind that veil, in His body, with those of like mind and like temperament who dwell there as well. And who are not about their own business, but about His. About pleasing Him and loving one another. There's safety in that. And the reward is the reward of getting to know Him better through the expression of Him in all those other people. Some of it better than others. But at this point, you know, I just sit back and think of the things we used to do as a child. I was in Grace Episcopal Church, and I did the things my parents shoved me out to do. And one of them was... We had choir practice. I think we had it on Thursday night, and we had it on Sunday after church. And we sit in there and sing stuff that I liked about 10% of. But I got to learn some really good hymns. I got to learn some really good psalms. And Psalm 100 was one of them. I still remember sitting back and doing that. And I don't know why it became one of my favorites, but it just... It's a short one. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And anybody who's heard singing in here knows that that's about the best we have to offer, but we can do it. We can be loud and we can be noisy. And we can be joyous. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And it is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We presumptively just think all kinds of stuff in our imaginations that are vain and have nothing to do with reality. We attribute to our life and our development, it's in and of ourselves, and that's just not, couldn't be further from the truth in both the natural and in the spiritual. Not true, not possible, unworkable. It's He that has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're His sheep. He's the shepherd. He's the leader. And we're in His care. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And in that, that's where that make that joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make it joyful. Praise His name. Bless Him with the praise that you come into His courts with. This thankfulness is a choice, because I don't know if you've ever seen a whole bunch of kids who are ungracious and unthankful for anything they were received, and their parents just dumped all these things on them, and they never, they were like, yeah, that's nice. It's just, we expect this stuff. This is stuff that's supposed to naturally come from you, right? My parents kept enough away from me. When I got something, I was thankful for it. And that was a good thing. That wasn't them being mean. You're never thankful for something. It means you've been spoiled. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. It is, it was, and it will be always truth. And it will be available in all generations. New and fresh, as the gospel is new and fresh every day and beautiful for every situation. There's just some really nice fundamental truths in here. And there are reasons to be thankful. There's reasons to be joyous. There's reasons to make joyful noise unto the Lord. His goodness and His bountiful mercy and grace are available and as fresh today as they were 2,000 years ago or however long ago Adam and Eve walked in the garden. And yes, my screw-ups are abundant and manifold, but you know what? Shocker, you're gonna screw up, you're gonna make mistakes, and they accepted you anyway. You don't make that a reason for not moving on. He didn't make it one for not accepting you. You go on, you thank Him for His, you repent, you thank Him for His grace and mercy. You thank Him for letting you go on. And you'll find out that He is a rewarder of those who diligently do that, who seek Him and trust Him and love one another and love Him. Because that was the rule. And it's that easy and it's that hard. When you're too proudful to receive that, prideful to receive that, because it doesn't sound like something is hard enough. Like, you go get something harder. Me, I'm gonna stand here in that, because it's simple and it's the truth and it lines up with His word. and I'm done.
Well, good evening, buddy. I'm going to go ahead and start real quick. I'll wrap it up with a song. Thought it was on. Is that a little bit better? A little bit louder? Okay.
I'm still on if that helps.
We can sit up here and make a joyful noise, Paul. We quite frankly do a lot of times when we're together. It's a joyful noise, but it's usually out of a laugh form. It's not really a singing form there. But however, it's a joyful noise, is it not? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it was one thing that I just really... Paul, you nailed a lot of stuff, but there's one thing that Lisa had mentioned earlier. It was just quite interesting. It struck me. She's like, you know, his hand is out there for you to receive. His hand is out there for you to receive. And, you know, you look at how that hand is outstretched for you a lot of times. We can think of it in many, many different ways this can happen. I mean, I know I went to an early meeting this morning to work, and it was early. But I went there and I was just, you know, I was talking with Scott, probably the most profitable work meeting we ever had. And there's usually like four bosses there, four guys that are head of the, you know, they hold all the six businesses there. But there's only two. There's only two. And one of them actually is five bosses now, because one of them was actually, I was assistant manager to the store I'm at now. And it was just him and Clay. And, you know, it was just a very profitable meeting. And I went in there and I started going. I started sharing. I said, look, man, you know, these are the issues I'm having. I mean, these are the issues that I'm having here. And it was an interesting thing how it all played out. And one of the things was, you know, as we were kind of going around the table, I'm hearing Scott saying, well, that's your fault. That's your fault. That's your guys' fault. You guys got to manage that. You guys got to manage that. But when he came around to me and I'm sitting there telling, look, I'm not saying, look, I know. I mean, I am struggling. I'm telling him I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time. And he goes, well, some of that's on me and I apologize. And I'm thinking to myself, you're just telling everybody that's their fault and you're apologizing to me. I mean, that's one thing that because of the way that he left things without resolving some issues there. But one of the things that happened, and just really the point that was that come down, one of the things that happened in the midst of that was that the answers that I got through dealing with the situations and the hard times that I was having, he had an answer for it. I mean, he had an answer for it all, and he highlighted areas in this thing. He highlighted these areas in that management process that were the things I was struggling with. And see, I couldn't even see them. I didn't know why I was struggling so hard, but I was. I mean, I've managed a store before, but this time, I mean, it's been really tough. But he was able just to highlight all these things that were just truths. And at first I was like, hey, you know, I don't know. I just think it's me. I think there's just something wrong with me. Well, yeah, there's something wrong with me. That's a given. But the things that he actually was pointing out, you know, I went back to the shop and they were all just right there in my face. They're all there right there in my face. And this was a good thing. This was an answer to prayer. I mean, these are the answers to, this is part of the Lord's provision to me. And it was something I could see and I could see clearly to go and then execute and get on top of and get resolved. Now, I tell you all this, because, you know, I don't know if you guys are understanding the point that I'm making here. But I tell you all this is because the hand of the Lord is outstretched through to get that provision of the Lord was that humility that Paul was talking about. That humility that Paul was talking about. Because in humility, you will be able to hear. When the Lord is trying his hands out to you and how it's going to be out to you. It can be through your boss. It could be through brother and sister in the Lord. It could be through your authority in the Lord. It could be in any way, shape, or form, that hand being outstretched for you, to you. And, you know, when you were talking about, but, you know, you're not going to receive anything. Keep batting it away. Keep batting it away. You know how we keep batting it away is when we get that counsel, we get that direction, we get it all, and we just absolutely just take no heed to that thing. And we just smack that thing down. And see, we don't even realize we're doing it because all we see is the person before us, and it could be actually the Lord trying to show us something, trying to give you a way out, trying to make something easier for you and provide for you a better way for you to serve Him. For you to serve Him, not yourself, Him. So it's in that, and that's just one of the points that I wanted to bring out. Because that provision's all around you. It is all around you. But if you're full of pride and ungratefulness, you won't even see it. You won't even see it. And I knew I didn't want to go to this meeting. I didn't want to go talk about my struggles that I was having. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad I humbled myself to share the struggles I was having and also to receive it. Because if I did neither or, I'd just be running around circles all over again. And today would have been hell if I didn't see those things. That's all I wanted to share. It's just a good point.
Will you learn my ways? Will you learn my ways? Will you learn? Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a very nice evening.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.